welcome back to the Pink Grapefruit podcast, where we're talking all things leadership and especially today, future leadership. So get your creative thinking on.
Yeah, it's great to be back together. Just the two of us talking about what we like to talk about best, and that's leadership and how we bring about our best selves to our environments. So I recently got to hear you give a presentation on leadership reimagined. You kind of took us through a history where we've been through what we've been through and where things have evolved and why we need to take on different mindsets, build different capacities, and really think about leadership in a different modern way.
It is. And, you know, a lot of things have changed in the last 4 or 5 years. I started thinking about the needs of future leadership, you know, quite a while back, pre-pandemic even, and it was just pulling at me. And then the pandemic hit, and it just exploded into a lot of thinking and research and talking to people. You know, it's interesting because I was watching, and I still do all the time, like I'm watching people speak about their needs and I'm watching their behaviors and I'm doing my best to read between the lines. And then I'm reading, you know, all kinds of research and experience from other people. And this really is a pivotal point in our history. And it's calling us to be different leaders.
Yes. I think the difference is it was such a dramatic shift. You know, when you think about leadership and organizations as they've evolved, it's typically a slow evolution. When we hit that pivotal point, just the world got upended. And it took us a bit as humans to figure out, well, what is going to work now, motivationally, my energy, those types of things. So it is a more dramatic, more visible need for change versus what we typically would have seen as an evolution in the world of business and organizational leadership.
Right, because you look back and you know, history of the models of how to lead, you know, if you just go back like the last 100 years, because really there was nothing innovative, you know, prior to that point, it very much was a top-down. It's very much a command and control. Those were, you know, those at the top, which were always men, by the, you know, by the way, is a rare sight. You know, you got to go way back to the like monarchies and, you know, to find the queens in control. But in general, in business, it was men and still is at a lopsided amount. However, it really was leaders that said, we've made this decision. And you rest of you people need to do this. Here's your task. Don't ask questions. Don't fight the system. You just need to do it. It was command and control.
Right. Autocratic.
Very autocratic.
Male, female, regardless.
Right.
It was autocratic.
It was autocratic.
That was what was determined the leadership model to be.
Yes, it was. And there's a lot of power, you know, involved in that model and control in that model. Then we moved into... And, you know, and I said in the presentation, you know, sorry, Google, I beg to differ on some of these because Google will tell us we came into sort of transactional leadership methods right after that in like the 1950s and 60s, which is really kind of a give and get thing.
Right.
Right.
Sort
it was
of
a
like
carrot
we,
and stick.
Yeah. We settle up every 2 weeks when I pay you kind of thing.
Yes.
Right.
Right. You're doing the work. I pay you. I want more stuff out of you. I'll dangle a little carrot or I'll threaten with a stick. Yeah. Either way, there are too many carrots create unhealthy competition behaviors. Mm-hmm. Right. Then it just becomes climbing over everybody to get what you need for yourself. Or it builds, and we see this today, organizations with foundations of fear.
Right. Less, it's not built on the need to collaborate at all. It's, you know, who can you climb over to grab the prize?
Right.
You know, or to get ahead or whatever.
Right. And that's where that, you know, climbing the ladder and, you know, climbing over people and all those things came into play. Then we went into transformational leadership styles. Right. Which really was a little more human centered.
Talk to me about when you feel that period or when history says that period was. Because I am surprised by that term, being called that we've been through any transformation.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're going.
Yeah, me too. It will tell you, depending on the source, anywhere between, the late 70s and about the year 2000. Well, I don't know about any of you out there, but I didn't see transformational leadership where human collaboration and opinion and care and compassion led the way. Now, I see that now.
Right.
Now we are.
Some of it's emerging.
Some of it is emerging.
It's definitely not a wave that has taken up, in a good way, everybody.
Not enough.
In fact,
yet.
I think people are really fighting the wave.
Yes. Some are fighting the wave of that. And those that are really flourishing have embraced it wholeheartedly and said, I talked to lots of different leaders of companies saying, no, this is how we're running things and it's going well.
Yeah.
And
so talk to me about the defining characteristics of the transformational leadership era.
Transformational leadership flattens an organization to an extent, and that's kind of a different conversation. And I'm not saying that every organization needs to have a flat model, because I'm also not a huge fan of the actual flat model of that. However, it does bring people into each other's orbits, and it gets rid of a lot of that power dynamic, and where leaders, and I say leaders as in, you have a technical title of that in an organization, they're working hand in hand with those that need to deliver the service or the product or somehow move things forward for the company, getting their input, getting their creativity, bringing in diverse thought and culture.
Yeah, it was really a time when sort of the light bulb went off that we probably need to train our people to
yes.
come up, right? We need to invest in our people and bring them up and recognize that everyone contributes in different ways. So it was very much a different era and sort of less about the family business carrying on and more about the need to sustain an organization and bringing in other people and developing other people.
Well, and it's the movement toward understanding that we need to help meet everyone's values, right? So we're looking at, Susan's and Karen's and Joe's, values and how they view work. Yes, we're still all sort of showing up in exchange for money somehow, yet actually asking people, hey, what do you need from this experience of being part of this organization? And what makes it good for you? What's the environment need to look like on a daily basis? What's your career path? Do you need coaching? Do you need mentoring? Do I want to hear your voice. And those just aren't empty words. I recently had a conversation with someone that they said, oh, yeah, it's espoused all over the exterior of our organization. And they talk about it on a daily basis. We want to hear from you. Use your voice. Be honest. Until the retaliation broke out.
Right.
And it split the organization. And so they weren't living those things. And it is. It's about asking people, what's important to you? And then
recognizing that if you're going to get the best out of people, you have to be sincere when you ask and integrate those. Otherwise, you're still really functioning at that hierarchical framework.
You are. You have to be prepared. It's about integrity. Boy, yeah. We've lacked integrity in so many ways in organizations. And so, if you're going to put that forward and have that be part of your culture and your operating method, then, if Karen says, hey, this is what's really important to me and I'd like to do that, then help make that come true.
Yeah. And what I think is interesting about this history is that as a new leadership framework or style came into play, it didn't mean everything else went away.
No.
We're talking about this transformational, but we still saw and still do today see command and control.
Totally.
We still see transactional organizations. And then we saw the emergence of some transformational organizations.
And with all, I think permanent, if you can use that word, in the word of change, but with all solid change, it usually comes from the bottom up. And look how many people and organizations are now saying, hey, by the way, I'm not going to do that. I'm happy to contribute to the success of this company and bring my expertise and my very best self and my productivity. Here's what it needs to look like for me.
Yeah. And we're seeing backlash to that, too.
Yes, we are. Because, well, change is messy.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yet we're seeing it more and more and more. And so when I sit and look at, hey, what is the future calling us to be? You know, what's it asking us to become as leaders? And by the way, it's about becoming a leader personally. And I spent a good chunk of my presentation talking about the fact that everybody has leadership qualities. It's about recognizing it and developing it.
Well, it's the anomaly you can have happen too in an organization that is, you know, maybe viewed one way, but you could have a remote office that functions very differently, right?
Exactly.
And those, you have those dynamics that can go on in organizations as well.
Right. It's complex most of the time, unless you've got a small mom and pop business, which brings its own set of complexities, right, with that. And, you know, like we've talked about before, getting change going, you know, we do a lot
of
culture work. It's hard, even if you're moving towards something good, because you're bringing in people that often have set belief systems around, but it always goes this way here.
We'll take a little divergent path about why culture is so difficult to work on, because what is culture? Culture is a collection of individual human values that come together. My view of what that tradition or that long-held belief means in an organization is perceived differently in another person. So you can have values that are espoused and embraced, but the interpretation is different from each human being in the organization.
Correct, because it's all based on my experience, right? And nobody else gets my experience but me.
Me.
Right? That's why it's so critical to have these conversations.
Yeah.
You know, that are authentic and cards on the table and come from curiosity. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking to shift some of these behaviors and models in an organization.
So what's the next stage of leader development that we've seen in history? Or leader mindset that we've seen in history?
I look at it and I call it the evolved leader. And we use the word elevated and evolved a lot and interchangeably in our company. And I think it's really about putting aside the title in this case, because you don't need to have a title to be a leader.
Correct.
Right? We lead ourselves. We lead our families. We lead communities. They're just behaviors, right? It's all about, how do I want to show up in the world? How do I show up as my best self in the world?
Well, and are you communicating that, right? That's a big difference, I think, in the evolved leader, is that the ability to be vulnerable.
Ooh, there's a touchy one.
I said it! Yeah, I mean, to lift others requires you to admit something in some ways, right?
That
I don't, you know, I need you. I need your talents. I need your skills because I don't have it.
And that's an uncomfortable place for most experienced leaders to go, especially as you go through the generations more and more. Those were not abilities that were programmed in to us, right? It was emotions get checked at the door. Personal life gets checked at the door. This
feelings
is just about work. Feelings checked at the door.
Yeah.
God forbid if you were a female and ever started to cry under stress at work.
Oh,
I mean, that's like the mortal sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stuff it. Or, you know, God forbid you spoke out harshly on something, right? Especially as a female.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, talk about backlash and gossip and drama.
And if you did, what were you?
Oh, we know the B word,
right? Exactly.
And you were unreasonable and hard to get along with.
Yeah.
And you weren't likable.
No.
Oh, we don't like Kathy because, you know,
she's going to tell you the way it is.
Yes, Deanna is too direct. She needs to dial it back.
Right.
mm-hmm. all those things that, you know, that women have had to deal with for so long. But I was just going to say, the vulnerability piece is key. I think that's the catalyst that really starts mm-hmm. bringing it forward. It brings those that are the titled, quote, leaders into a more human form, right? People right. look at it and go, you're real. And I think that's one of the few gifts we got out of the pandemic. It leveled the playing field mm-hmm. as yeah. humans, right? Because right. what happened to the senior executive also happened to the brand new 22-year-old entry-level team member right. as well, right? They were right. dealing with the same things in their life and didn't know what to do, mm-hmm. right? All the work experience in the world didn't get one further down the road than the other,
right?
Right, or youth, it didn't get them further down the road than right. the senior person. And so...
And everybody experienced the same, you know, life and death and stress of... You know,
yes, uncertainty, fear in the world mm-hmm. going on. And I think now, especially with the newer generation coming into the workforce, if you're not able to be a senior person in an organization, you're not able to be vulnerable and authentic mm-hmm. and share the fact that sometimes, guys, I don't have all the answers. I could use your help. Or, you know what? I am super stressed this week. I have a lot going mm-hmm. on in, you know, work and personal, whatever, you know, whatever it is. And let people know that rather than trying to put on this facade that just sucks the energy out of you. And people see past it anyway now. Like, they you're do. Not fooling anybody yeah. anymore. Those days are gone.
Yeah. But the reality is, as we've said, there are all of these types of organizations evident in the marketplace today. And there are some people who would rather experience a command and control or transactional. It's, you know, they want that.
And it's familiar.
It's familiar.
Right. As humans, we like familiar. We don't like unknown.
Right. They maybe want it to an extent, or they fear wells up when they're put on a spot in a meeting and say, what do you think? Right. That may create a lot of fear and anxiety in them. So it that might. May not be the type of organization or leader that works for them.
It might not. And that's a great point, is some people will always want to stay in that. Mm-hmm. What I would push back at people is adapting to the future is pretty hard if you're not, because I just don't think that by and large, outside of, you know, military and some of those things that need to be heavily structured and, you know, mm-hmm. decisive, that kind of thing. I just don't believe those systems are going to last. It really is. That's why I call it the evolved leader. You know, the world is telling us you're going to have to evolve. You're yeah. going to have to change, people.
I think I'm just going to throw this out there, but I think the evolved leader also knows when to play what role.
Exactly. Right. Because right. it's all these nuances. Mm-hmm. Right. You can't just slam full 100% change
right.
down. Right. You've got to work your way through that. Mm-hmm. And that requires some pretty in-depth relational skills, mm-hmm. I think, as those that are in charge.
A lot of self-awareness, too, in terms of how you come Tons. Across in, you know, a transactional role. Or you could still have empathy in how you come across to somebody who might relate more to a transactional motivation at a certain point in time. So I think that's the key. You have to know yourself how that feels to you. And can you play with this deck of cards, if you will, and know the other people, right? You have to have that sense of how am I coming across to somebody else to know which role to play.
It is. It comes back to, you know, how do I want to show up in the world, mm-hmm. right? How do I come and appear and communicate and relate with people? And you know, when you said, yeah, it's, you know, it's about having this deck of cards, we're trying to elevate that deck of cards. Mm-hmm. Right? Leaders yeah. still need to be decisive. The buck still stops
There's
somewhere.
Still roles
There's still roles mm-hmm. That people fulfill. There's still carrots and sticks sometimes,
sure.
right? It's called accountability and outcome and consequences,
yeah.
a key part of our life. A lot of people, especially in sales roles and some different things like that, where people are just naturally more competitive on mm-hmm. things, they love to strive for the extra bonus or the perk of some sort. that's great. What I'm just saying is that I think the future is asking us to think about those in a different way mm-hmm. to treat those. They don't all have to go out in the trash.
Right.
Right. It's right. a deciding about kind of like us, you know, as we've evolved over these last handful of years. I don't know about you, but I am certainly not the same person I was 4 or 5 years ago. I think there's very little of her left. However, I did have to spend a lot of time looking and saying, what pieces am I going to carry with me? And what do I leave behind? What no longer serves?
That's always the struggle.
It is.
I think, you know, it's things that happened in your past that you think are you've shed any history of. They come roaring back at times. There's triggers that they come roaring back and you say to yourself, why is this little vestige still out there?
Yes.
Why does it manifest at certain times? And I do mean in a leadership context, something can happen that's a trigger. How you react may surprise you.
Exactly. Sometimes I think we haven't really worked through that particular mm-hmm. issue or that, you know, historical experience, that wound, whatever item it is. And as a leader, we have to remember that everybody around us is also dealing with that every single day, right? We're all sort of batting off things that trigger us or things that, you mm-hmm. know, move us off center, off of our best space.
Right.
And that's why moving forward and learning to evolve is a messy game.
It's messy. I know I have tendencies of command and control that still come up, and there's times when that's the right thing to do. Transactional, you know, transformational, they all blend at this point. It's what do you want the predominant leadership? What's the best predominant leadership style for you and the people you work with?
Exactly. What stays, what no longer serves well anymore, what needs to transform mm-hmm. into this evolved way of being. And that means not only helping, but allowing the people around you that maybe don't have a specific leadership title to become leaders in their own right. Again, it comes back to how we show up every single day. What are my mindsets? What are my behaviors that mm-hmm. I lead with in my day?
So where do we go from here? So we have this contextual framework of leadership. And, you know, how do we actually move into this evolved state of leadership to be a predominant, strong force? Where do we go? What are the things that we need to work on, that we need to be aware of moving forward?
You know, as I kept working on this, it really landed sort of in three buckets for mm-hmm. me. And the buckets are about humans and everything that supports us as a human. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? What's a better human? How do I become a better human? And then it also really, I think a big bucket is flexibility and change and agile behavior. And there's, you know, 50 things under that.
Yeah, your approach to problem solving and
everything. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Things we need to change. And then really it all, I think, is built upon awareness, self-awareness, and really understanding my own behaviors, my own gaps, where I need to go, and starting to understand and be aware of the behaviors around you. Mm-hmm. Right. It's taking the time and making the investment to understand why, you know, Bob rolls his eyes, why Susan doesn't speak up as much, why, you know.
Getting deeper.
Getting deeper.
Not just saying, you know, Bob rolled his eyes. That's just Bob.
Exactly. Like, what's actually going on?
There's
with
some
Bob
trigger
here?
There. Right?
There's something. Right. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's about. And yes, it takes time. I know, mm-hmm. I can hear people out there, oh, this is all great. Like, I have the time, you know, to be the counselor of everyone in my world and figure out what's going on with them. Well,
that's leadership.
Leadership. Sorry, I have no good answer beyond, you know, if you're going forward in the future and you want to be really effective and successful, these are the three areas you're going to have to focus on.
That's part of the rules of engagement.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk too a little bit more in the future about, you know, that just titles don't create leaders. It comes back to your mindset and your how you think, how you treat others. It doesn't matter what the title is. So we'll talk about that as well.
Right. I mean, title just describes the role you have. So I know who to go to for a question, probably, right?
Which is why in some circles, like the strategic doing world, when we do forums or workshops, that's not part of the introduction. It's like, check your title at the door. We don't care. What we care about is the hidden assets that you bring to the table.
Yes.
So I think that's an important construct as well.
It is. And that's another great example, too, of starting to level the playing field in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, those teams might be made up of someone from the C-suite and someone from the accounting department and, you know, someone that's been in the workforce for a year. It's
right.
hard to say.
Right. It's all about the robust collaborations, things you couldn't do if you didn't peel back the layers.
Yes, and really. Come together in that specific way. So, so humans, flexibility, and awareness, those are three buckets that I'd love to dive into.
Yeah, I think we should.
Deeper.
I think we should. So, great introduction to where leadership has come from, where we're going, the mix of mindsets in the world today. And let's go deeper on that.
Let's go deeper. Thanks for listening today. Share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do.
Great. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Take care, all.
Thanks for joining us today for the Pink Grapefruit Podcast. If you would like assistance with organizational culture alignment, mentorship programs, strategic